Welcome to Base by Base, the Papalcast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So I want you to consider a specific question as we start today.
Okay, what are we looking at?
How does a father's age impact his children? Because, you know, for decades, when the medical community and society as a whole really discussed the biological clock and reproductive health, the focus was almost exclusively trained on maternal age.
Right. The paternal contribution was, well, it was basically just viewed as a static delivery system for DNA.
Exactly. But recent science and epidemiology have painted a much more complex picture. They've shown a strong correlation between older fathers and an increased risk of metabolic and neurological disorders in their offspring.
Which is fascinating, but the persistent mystery has always been the mechanism.
Right, because if the primary DNA sequence is mostly intact, how is this elevated risk actually transmitted? And the answer, it turns out, isn't just random genetic mutations. It's hidden in this highly complex RNA code.
It really is a profound paradigm shift in reproductive biology. And today we celebrate the work of Zhengkao Shi and an extensive team of colleagues who have advanced our understanding of exactly this mechanism.
We are doing a deep dive into their groundbreaking 2026 paper published in the MBO journal.
Our mission today is to unpack how sperm ages at a molecular level in both mice and humans, and how this aging alters the genetic software passed to the next generation.
To set the stage for you, we have to look back at traditional fertility science. It always prioritized DNA integrity, you know, looking at chromatin fragmentation and DNA methylation.
But mammalian sperm also carries a very distinct payload of small non-coding RNAs,
right,
or cDNCRNAs. And the focus here is on specific subtypes, tsRNAs, which come from transfer RNA, and rsRNAs, which originate from ribosomal RNA.
Which scientists historically just dismissed as cellular debris, right?
Yeah, exactly. They thought it was random degradation. But they're actually potent epigenetic messengers. They transfer the father's environmental clues and age-related traits right into the early embryo.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because for researchers to realize these hidden fragments were doing anything, they first needed to be able to read them.
And for a long time, they couldn't.
Why not?
It was a massive technological blind spot. Previously, scientists were missing the vast majority of these specific RNAs because they are heavily decorated with chemical modifications.
Like methyl groups.
Right. Modifications like M1A, M5C, and so on. In the body, these are essential for the RNA to fold and remain stable. But in the lab, during standard RNA sequencing, these modifications act like physical brick walls.
The enzymes just crash into them?
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
The reverse transcriptase enzymes hit these methyl groups, stall out, and just fall off the transcript.
Yes.
So the most abundant RNAs are completely left out of the final data.
The best way to visualize this for you as a listener is to imagine finding this massive ancient library, millions of books, but when you walk in, you realize 99% of the books have their pages completely glued shut by some thick resin.
That's a great analogy.
So if you only catalog the books you can easily open, your inventory is totally distorted. You'd walk away thinking the library only has tiny pamphlets, totally unaware of the giant encyclopedias that actually make up the collection.
And those unglued pamphlets are the microRNAs. For years, reproductive epigenetics focused almost entirely on microRNAs simply because they lacked those modifications and could actually be sequenced.
But they make up less than 1% of the sperm RNA, right?
Less than 1%. It's wild. But Shi and his team found a way to unglue the pages using a novel method called PandoraSeq.
PandoraSeq, panoramic RNA display by overcoming RNA modification aborted sequencing.
It's quite the acronym. But basically, they use specific enzymes, ALK-B and T4PNK, to systematically strip away those obstructing methyl groups before sequencing.
And suddenly, the encyclopedias are visible.
Exactly. They reveal that the real dominant players are these newly visible tsRNAs and rsRNAs.
So armed with this, the researchers design an experiment to map how this RNA library degrades over time. They used a mouth model and tracked them at five specific age intervals, 10, 30, 50, 70, and 90 weeks old.
And crucially, they didn't just look at whole semen. they isolated mature sperm specifically from the cauda epididymis.
That's the final storage site.
Right, where they get their ultimate epigenetic payload. And then they went a step further. They only analyzed the demembranated sperm heads.
Which is such an important detail. Why the head?
Because the sperm head contains the actual payload, the DNA and those deeply embedded RNAs that get delivered into the egg. A sperm cell uses a lot of energy to swim, so its mitochondria are packed into the tail. But during fertilization, the tail and most of that cytoplasm are discarded.
So by stripping away the tail, they ensured they were only looking at the actionable cargo going into the embryo.
Yes. And when they tracked this isolated cargo across the lifespans of these mice, they found something completely unexpected.
They didn't see a slow, gradual decline, did they?
No, not at all. You'd expect a steady accumulation of errors week by week.
Okay.
But instead, they found what they call an aging cliff.
An aging cliff.
Yeah, a massive, sharp transition. The RNA profiles were actually really stable through 10, 30, and 50 weeks. But right between the 50 and 70 week marks, the whole composition of those tsRNAs and rsRNAs just drastically shifted.
The molecular signature went from young to old, almost overnight, biologically speaking.
What's fascinating here is that traditional sequencing completely missed this cliff. The unmodified RNA stayed mostly the same. Only PandoraSeq could detect this dramatic shift in the hidden modified RNAs.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting. While they were looking at these purified sperm heads, they found a bizarre anomaly.
The traveling mitochondria.
Yes. They found mitochondrial tsRNAs and rsRNAs inside the demembranated sperm heads.
Which is a huge biological puzzle. As we just said, all the sperm's mitochondria are in the tail.
And they had chemically removed the tails for this test.
Exactly. They rigorously validated that there were no intact mitochondria in these samples. So finding mitochondrial RNA fragments inside the isolated nucleus strongly suggests that these fragments are being physically transported.
Migrating from the energetic engine in the tail, right across the structural barriers, straight into the genetic payload in the head.
It implies this vital communication pathway. Mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell, and they're also where metabolic stress and oxidative damage accumulate as we age.
So the mitochondria are basically sending a distress signal.
Yes, a retrograde signal directly to the nucleus, annotating the father's genetic blueprint with a record of his metabolic stress before it even reaches the egg.
That is just incredible. But it's not just the type of RNA that changes after this aging cliff. The researchers found the RNAs are actually changing in size.
Right, there's a transformative length shift. They looked specifically at the rsRNAs derived from the 18S and 28S ribosomal subunits.
In the younger mice before the cliff, what did those look like?
They were mostly short, uniform fragments, about 16 to 17 nucleotides long.
Hmm.
But post-cliff, the abundance of those short fragments drops, and they're replaced by much longer ones, measuring 43 to 44 nucleotides.
To explain this to you listening, think of a paper shredder.
The dull shredder effect.
Exactly. In a young, healthy cell, the enzymes that chop up these RNAs act like a brand new paper shredder. They operate with high precision and give you these nice, uniform, short fragments.
But as you age, the shredder gets dull.
The enzymes stop working efficiently, probably due to oxidative stress, and they fail to make those final cuts. So you're left with these longer, unprocessed 44 nucleotide fragments.
And this is where we have to translate this to humans, because this isn't just a mouse phenomenon.
Right, they validated this rigorously.
They tested against two independent human cohorts. One was a longitudinal study tracking the exact same men over 6 to 23 years. This is the gold standard because it controls for individual genetic variants.
They controlled for BMI, smoking, everything.
Yes. And the second was a cross-sectional cohort of 47 donors aged 25 to 51. In both groups, applying PandoraSeq to the human sperm heads confirmed the exact same rsRNA length shift.
So the dull shredder is an evolutionarily conserved feature of aging.
It is. The enzymatic failure happens in humans just like it does in mice.
So what does this all mean? That's the ultimate question here. We have the aging cliff, the traveling mitochondrial signals, and these long, dull RNA fragments. But do they actually do anything bad to an embryo?
Are they drivers of disease or just harmless biomarkers? That is the final crucial experiment.
And to test it, they made these synthetic RNA cocktails.
Right, they synthesized one cocktail to perfectly mimic the tsRNA and rsRNA profile of young sperm, mostly those short 16 nucleotide fragments, and a second cocktail mimicking the old sperm, full of the 44 nucleotide long fragments.
And by using synthetic RNA, they completely isolated the variable. No DNA methylation differences, no damaged chromatin, just the RNA length.
Precisely. They transfected these cocktails into mouse embryonic stem cells, which act as a proxy for the early embryo.
And they waited 24 hours.
Just 24 hours. And the gene expression in those stem cells had completely diverged.
What happened with the old RNA combo?
The long RNA fragments specifically upregulated genes involved in complex metabolic pathways, like oxidative phosphorylation and fatty acid metabolism.
And something even more concerning.
Yes. Shockingly, they saw significant activation in pathways linked to neurodegenerative diseases. We're talking Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and Huntington's disease.
From just a 24-hour exposure to paternal RNA.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, these cellular changes perfectly mirror the real-world health phenotypes we see in the offspring of older fathers.
The clinical data has shown us for years that kids of older dads have higher risks of metabolic issues and neurodevelopmental anomalies.
And now we have the molecular mechanism. It's not a mutated DNA sequence. It's these poorly processed, elongated RNA fragments hacking the embryo's transcriptional machinery.
It's just staggering. So to synthesize this journey for you, male reproductive aging involves a sudden aging cliff. It's a breakdown in RNA processing that leaves these longer RNA fragments behind. And this specific sperm RNA code can directly trigger metabolic and neurological changes in early embryonic cells.
The clinical potential here is massive. Right now, fertility clinics just look at sperm count, morphology, and motility.
Which doesn't tell you anything about this epigenetic payload.
Exactly. A sperm could look perfectly healthy under a microscope, but carry a highly degraded post-cliff RNA payload. Thanks to PandoraSec, we could soon use these RNA length shifts as highly accurate biomarkers
to assess human sperm age and quality on a molecular level,
helping couples make deeply informed reproductive decisions in IVF clinics.
Which leaves us with a really provocative final thought for you to mull over.
This raises an important question about the nature of the dull shredder.
The researchers suspect this failure of the cleavage enzymes is driven by accumulating oxidative stress in the body over time.
Not just strict chronological age.
Right. So if that's true, could targeted lifestyle interventions or new antioxidant therapies actually resharpen the shredder?
Could we reverse the RNA length shift?
Exactly. It raises the profound possibility that a father could literally turn back the clock on his biological legacy before conception.
Modulating our epigenetic legacy is absolutely the next great frontier.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.
Long nights, bright screens, we counted tiny traces. Sperm heads held a whisper, folded in their faces. Fragments of a message, shifting with a clock. A quiet cliff appeared where numbers stopped. Aging cliff in the middle years, a sudden bend. Longer fragments rising, the shorter ones descend. Mitochondrial echo, answering the genomic trend. Tiny codes louder than we imagine, carrying weight. They tune the dawn in ways we only start to translate. From small letters of RNA, a future's late. Tiny codes, tiny codes, tiny codes. Two tiny codes. We gave an age mimic, can watch the letters speak. Stem cells move toward metabolic and neurodegeneration peaks. Not a fate declared, but a compass shifting range. A map of mystery traced inside a small exchange. The how remains a shadow, origin still untold. Synthetic notes. it's like old marks that nature holds, but these head specific patterns rise as candidate signs. We keep the questions close and follow the lines. Tiny codes outer than we imagine carrying weight. They tune the dawn in ways we only start to translate. A